You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 17 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Alex Dace, we'll touch on those first round results, and Sibanye Stillwater going bigger into lithium. Dustin Smith from Absa Retail, manufacturing server. I'm also curious as to what are our large manufacturing sectors. I mean, automotive is definitely one. Is there much in mining? What about packaging? And then Henk Fullen from Stanlib on their balanced cautious fund and how that can work, particularly in a market that growth is probably going to start moderating, inflation moderating. Maybe there's something there. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. FSCA registers two investigations against Bell Equipment, the one related to alleged insider trading that happened last year, and the other to whether the company has published false, misleading or deceptive statements about its securities during July of last year. Business Day, China's Evergrande debt woes are a national risk. Talk about the country's second biggest property developer could default. Its bonds are now mostly suspended from trading. But as I dig into it, it's $30 billion of debt, but it seems that only about $10 billion is debt held by non-Chinese institutions. Morning markets, US mixed, S&P off 0.2, NASDAQ up 0.1. Asia red, mixed, with Sydney down 0.8 and Tokyo up 0.5%. Commodities under pressure overnight, gold 17.59, Rand 14.59. Top 40 looking for a 380-point open. It's about 0.6%. That as Tencent trades up 2.2% during the lunch break in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Alex Dace, Portfolio Manager at Mthombo Wealth. Alex, appreciate the early morning. Those first round results, I thought, all things considered, a really strong set of results. They're referring to that return to the 2019 peak imminent and their 6 month performance, because of course this was full year, so the 6 months to June, they're saying, which was H2, was best performance ever. I mean, the banks are looking strong.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Certainly, first round results were very, very good. The recovery is mostly driven by large reductions in impairment charges, of course, but the performing book coverage level still remains above COVID level, so that does mean that the bank is still well positioned for any potential future headwinds coming around. But unlike performances from F&B, very, very strong. West Bank, decent performance, that's despite new vehicle sales being under pressure. So overall, very, very good. You can see the underlying earnings, normalized earnings, is just below pre-COVID levels, and the share price is actually also very close to pre-COVID levels. So that shows you the extent of the recovery. And also the guidance going forward, they're still indicating that they can grow earnings in real terms from these levels. I guess the easy money has been made in all of the banks from a valuation perspective, but they still seem decently priced. There's still some touch of upside, in my opinion.
Do you have your preferred in the space? I mean, as you say, certainly the easy money. I mean, first round's up almost doubling in price off the pandemic lows. Have you got a preferred pick in the sector?
Yeah, so it depends if I have one or two. So usually if I go for two, then I'll buy my quality one, which will be a first rant, and then I'll buy one of the others for more alpha potential or higher share price potential. At this moment, I still think Nedbank offers that this particular stage. So my preference will be for first rant and Nedbank.
But I like that. The first round, the quality, and then your alpha is sort of second tier. Not dissing them, but a bit of second tier. Sibanye Stillwater making more announcements into the lithium space, investing just over 7 billion ZAR in a 50-50 JV. It really is targeting the EV space. And I suppose, I mean, if you think about it, Sibanye started as a pure gold play, became platinum, then platinum and palladium with the Stillwater acquisition. And now looking at lithium as Neil Frohman kind of repositions the company for fair shot to him for what's going to be the longer term future.
Yes, it's an interesting one, because investors are always concerned that Neil Frohman will do deals, but his track record has been very good since he's been at Sibanye. So this particular deal, obviously, it's a lithium mine in Nevada. It's got a potential to be one of the biggest mines in the U.S. I mean, now, of course, lithium is going to be used for batteries going forward, as well as nickel, which they've also invested in recently. So at this particular moment, it's difficult to say, if this deal is going to add value or not, but the quantum of the capital outlay seems okay. I want to highlight that this particular share is already up 114% this year, the business they're buying, Ioneer. So they're already paying to some extent a premium for it. But I think, we've also, with management companies of recent companies be under pressure for ESG purposes and so forth, investments like this will probably also help them over longer term instead of, for example, investing in coal. Sibanye also, of course, wants to develop further the uranium deposits that they've got as part of the gold assets. So it's interesting some developments happening here. But I think what at the moment is overshadowing all of the resources companies is simply the drop in the commodity prices. We also had a very strong rand, but that's been reversing of late. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen in this space, but certainly very volatile, and there's quite a few nervous investors out there.
Yeah, but I love your point. People are concerned about those deals, but let's be quite clear. Neil Frohnman, he's a deal maker. He does more good than bad deals. Although looking at that Sibanye price, man, it's about to go red for the last 12 months. We'll leave that there. Alex Dace, Portfolio Manager, Mthombo Wealth. Appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Justin Smith, head manufacturing sector at Absa Retail and Business Bank. Justin, good to have you on the show again. The latest manufacturing data coming out from your manufacturing survey, this is the Absa Q3 survey, it saw a slight dip in the overall confidence. It was down 5 points at 41 points during the quarter. I got to say, considering that we were back in fairly hard lockdown during the period, of course, the unrest in predominantly KwaZulu-Natal, a bit in Gauteng, I thought not a bad a survey data point. Is that a fair reflection? Would you sort of agree with that?
Yes, Simon, so morning. I'd agree with that 100%. So if we look at it versus historical averages, 41 is just below kind of what we've seen on average from 94 till 2021. But also then if we look at the last 10 years, this is still a print that's above the averages we've seen over the last 10 years. So considering, yes, we had the riots, we had the third wave, we remain on lockdown, we're in a global pandemic, I'm pretty happy with those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, you say it like that, it almost sounds like Armageddon outside. Of course, we're kind of getting used to after 18 months of pandemic. What also came through as positive was inventories. Now, we've had supply chains have been challenges left, right, and center the world over. But looking at that data, it seems to be not completely gone, but it seems to be picking up and certainly improving ahead of what is going to be peak sales season for many of the manufacturers.
Yes. So what we saw there is that, and we've been speaking about this for the last year, that it's been a constraint on manufacturers that they are just not able to get the raw materials to meet that future demand. And it hasn't meant lost sales yet, but that was a worry we had. Now, this quarter, heading into the peak season, like you say, it dipped a bit. And that's a positive sign that they are actually stocking up for this peak season, like you say. And I think also importantly, what we're seeing is investments into inventory, the expectations of that will increase over the next 12 months. So again, some good positive signs, but we've still got these supply chain effects globally. So we do need to see that wash its way out the system.
Yeah, and many of them are raising issues around increased raw material costs. And I suppose, I mean, that is partly just generally commodity prices. And if they're an import, it's also going to be, thanks very much to Eskom. And I suppose some of that supply chain, part of it is if you maybe pay up a bit, you can jump to the front of the queue. So this might put some pressure on margins.
Yes. So interestingly, sales prices, there was an increase in sales price, but when manufacturers responded and spoke about their costs, more of them were seeing their cost increases. So in quarter three, we likely did see that margin squeeze. And again, hopefully, you know, the shipping containers start moving again. You know, these increased petrol prices, the Eskom cost increases are a bit more normalized in the coming quarters so that they can push up selling prices more than those cost prices. So it's one that we're going to track quite closely just to make sure that it's not putting long-term margin compression on the manufacturers, but definitely costs are going up quicker than selling prices.
Last question, where are we seeing, so what are, I mean, back in the day, you know, way, way back in the day, our manufacturing was sort of focused around mining, and that made sense. You know, these days we've got a lot of packaging, and that in part is going to be for the fruit and export industry. Obviously a lot of automotive. What sort of sectors is the real strength in our manufacturing space?
So if we just look at this quarter in terms of strength, the three that were the ones that were sitting above 50 were a lot less than the previous quarters. But the ones that have kind of seen confidence in the last quarters, surprisingly, textiles. So that's been something that has, while it's not one of the biggest players, it's benefited from these supply chain shocks where you're importing less from Asia, for example, and you've got guys that can now sell locally and compete locally. Wooden printing, you know, so you talk about that packaging and all of that, and the pulp manufacturing for tissues, etc. So that has been a good sector, but this quarter did struggle a bit. Places like glass was surprising, but I think if we talk about the big players in this industry, it's definitely food and beverage, which kind of carries on growing with agriculture and the as a secondary agri industry. Then you look at transport, so the automotive sector is still someone that we saw the Ford investments that have come through and all the investments coming through in that space. And then finally our metals and machinery industry that, you know, would supply into the bigger industries, like you're saying, in mining, etc.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, agri has become, I think many of us, I mean, certainly I kind of forget that actually we're a big agri, and that's not just food for us to eat, it's also food to send out to the rest of the world, particularly some of our just deciduous fruits down in the Western Cape. Justin Smith, Head Manufacturing Sector, Absa Retail and Business Bank, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Henk Verloon, Portfolio Manager, Stanlib Balanced and Equities. Henk, appreciate your time today. If we step back and look at, I suppose, big picture in a sense, it's looking like lower growth, moderating inflation globally and locally. How do investors sort of position themselves for this potential outcome?
Yeah, thank you, Simon. I think we're living in very interesting times. We've seen quite a large recovery in most global economies, with growth picking up remarkably. The Delta virus is obviously causing quite an anxiety in many of the gear markets at the moment. Mm-hmm. And in SA, we've had a very strong commodity recovery, and that seemed to be rolling over, and that certainly bodes negatively for SA earnings growth in many sectors. The other thing I think that's also happened is that globally we see a number of bottlenecks develop for inflation, and that's causing inflation to spike. But our view would be that from these levels, we'll see a slight moderation in growth. We don't see growth disappearing dramatically. As concerned, we do believe that will be unwinding, and that on a 12-month view, we should see certainly some moderation in inflation.
And the key word there, I mean, this is not an end of the world, a collapse. This is moderation. And that, you know, it stands well stead, particularly locally. Heavy lifting has been from those commodities. What does this mean for equity positions in your fund? Have you been pulling back on a bit on equity?
Yeah, so if you look at our overall fund, and maybe just to be specific about a balanced, cautious fund like ours, you're able to invest up to a maximum of 40% in equities. And we have a very specific overweight to global equities at the moment, with a spread between a general global equity fund and quite a big allocation to both emerging markets and the European area of investment. Mm-hmm. As far as the SA market is concerned, we have been pulling back on our commodity holdings. So we've gone underweight commodities and basically have allocated that position towards the financial sector and specifically banks, mm-hmm. because we think that there's still quite a nice earnings recovery from the banks. But on a general overview basis, we are underweight SA relative to being overweight international equities.
And then 40% max equities, that's it's a cautious fund. I mean, and that's what that sort of that fixed interest component is going to do. That gives you the base. That'll give you your return clocking in month by month, you know, quarter by quarter, year by year. And the equities then come on top and you can manage that percentage as you seem fit.
Yeah, so if we can specifically refer to the fixed interest component of the fund, I think at Standup, we were very optimistic about a government reducing its auction sizes, which has happened this year, mm-hmm. and government finance is turning out to be much better, specifically in the light of this great recovery in commodity prices. We know government is looking for as much as 100 billion of additional revenue from that. For us, much of that has played out, so we have pulled back a little bit on our bond position. But at the same time, we've introduced inflation linkers into our fund, 5% holding in that. Mm-hmm. And we're still holding a position of 6% in property, which we think is a good recovery story, but not a big overweight in our portfolio. And then lastly, but not least, is that we also have an allocation of 7% to global emerging market debt, which we've done through a company called Brandywine, which has a very good track record in being able to manage currency and emerging market bond exposure over time.
A cautious fund such as this, I mean, is this a situation specific? I mean, does an investor at this point, and you know, referencing back to what we talked at the top of the conversation around moderating global growth locally as well, inflation, is a cautious fund specific for this type of the market? Or is it something which actually an investor could look at and say, you know what, it's going to take some volatility out of the equation for me and actually is a fair fund for all weather types?
Yes, so I think that's a very good question. At this point in time, I think we've seen quite a remarkable recovery in equity markets. Fixed interest markets in South Africa with the steepness of the yield curve are offering a very attractive real yield. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we are invested to capture that real yield. And with many investors sitting in things like money market funds where there's no yield available, I think being invested slightly more, less conservative is attractive. And then on the other hand, for people that has been heavily exposed to equity and risk assets, it probably also makes sense to pare back some of that risk. And therefore, the balanced cautious fund, 40% equities, roughly 60% fixed interest spread over a different set of asset classes, certainly makes a really good investment case for an investor over the short to medium term, we believe.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, take some of the volatility out, and as I keep going back to it, markets have run good, but those commodities, they're looking wobbly. Those PGM prices are under pressure, and Neil Fronman was out saying that, you know, the rhodium at 10,000, palladium 2,000. We'll leave it there. Henk Fullen, portfolio manager, Standard Balanced and Equities. Really appreciate your time today, sir. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, South Africa's got a number of listed REITs that are operating in Central and Eastern Europe, Germany, Romania, Poland. It's MAS, it's NEPI, Rockcastle, EPP, and Sirius. The question we asked you is, do you like these Central Eastern Europe? I mean, are they offering value for you? Almost half of you said, yes, you're getting great returns. Just over a third said, actually, you would prefer a REIT ETF, while just under a fifth of you said, nope, local is better. Remember, you can always have a say and a vote on our LinkedIn and Twitter. No poll today because I am, of course, off on leave next week. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management, it's an authorized financial services provider. As I said, next week I am off, but we've got stand-in hosts, Henry Buddlecombe on Monday, Narina Fisser Tuesday, Petri Radenhaes on Wednesday, and Mateta Tolari on Thursday. Friday's a holiday. I'll be back the Monday after. We're live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website and the app. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. I'll chat to you after my leave.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.